Ye tidings, cosmos. Good morning, 21st century world of worlds. This is Radio Richard Ireland, coming to you from within the soundproofless studio of life itself. Tá míle fáilte rót anseo. I am your host, Richard McSweeney. Hear this, listener, give it here your fullness of ear. From the beginning there is breath, and upon that breath there are words. Saw the word fossil, and I wondered, are there places in my mind, rock areas as it were, geological locations, where I could perhaps find some preserved remains, impressions, or even traces of once living ideas? Where in my mind is to be found the fossil records of its primordial ideas? Could they be even stored in different locations throughout the body, I wonder? And the sage in the digital age speaks of the philosopher of old, saying, on several occasions, he would in a lonely place happen upon a dog digging up a by ground season meaty bone that it had one time there buried. He liked the idea of keeping something nice to be greater enjoyed at another time. And he admired the dog's wisdom and patience to be able to wait for this seasoning. Thoughts, be they in spoken or written words, he considered to be like meaty bones that could be buried and enjoyed at a later time, could be enjoyed by future generations, having been well seasoned. A day he saw to be a soil in which could be buried things for future times and places. The location of our childhood home makes a difference, he felt, for how in youth, middle, and old age we view and interpret ourselves, others, and life. A home with a valley view gives a valley view outlook, a mountain, a mountain, a seashore, a seashore, a hamlet, a small settlement holding, a small settlement holding, and a large settlement holding, a large settlement holding. In today's broadcast, I'll be reading from Prince Hamlet, The Republic, and the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. This is a reading in continuity from Prince Hamlet. Go, Captain. From me greet the Danish king. Tell him that, by his license, Fortinbras craves the convenience of a promised march over his kingdom. You know the rendezvous. If this his majesty would aught with us, we shall express our duty in his eye, and let him know so. I will do it, my lord. Go softly on. Good sir, whose powers are these? They are of Norway, sir. Our purpose, sir, I pray you. Against some part of Poland. Who commands them, sir? The nephews of old Norway, Fortinbras. Goes it against the main of Poland, sir, or for some frontier? Truly to speak, and with no addition, we go to gain a little patch of ground that hath in it no profit but the name. To pay 5 ducats, 5, I would not farm it, nor will it yield to Norway or the Pole a ranker rate, should it be sold in fee. Why then, the Pollock never will defend it. Yes, it is already garrisoned. 2,000 souls and 20,000 ducats will not debate the question of this straw. This is the imposthume of much wealth and peace, that inward breaks and shows no cause without why the man dies. I humbly thank you, sir. God be with you, sir. Will please you go, my lord? I'll be with you straight. Go a little before. How all occasions do inform against me, and spur my dull revenge. What is man in his chief good and market of his time, be but a sleep to sleep and feed, a beast no more? Sure, he had made us with such large discourse, looking before and after, gave us not that capability and godlike reason to fuss in us unused. Now, whether it be bestial oblivion or some craven scruple of thinking too precisely on the bent, a thought which quartered had but one part wisdom, and ever three parts coward, I do not know why yet I live to say, this thing's to do, said I have cause and will and strength and means to do it. Examples gross as earth extort me. Witness this army of such mass and charge, led by a delicate and tender prince, whose spirit with divine ambition puffed, makes mouths at the invisible event, exposing what is mortal and unsure to all that fortune dead and danger dare, even for an eggshell. Rightly to be great is not to stir without great argument, but greatly to find quarrel in a straw with honours at the stake. How stand I, then, to have a father killed, a mother stained, excitements of my reason and my blood, and let it all sleep, while, to my shame, I see the imminent death of 20,000 men that, for a fantasy and a trick of fame, go to their graves like beds, fight for a plot whereupon the numbers cannot try the cause, which is not tomb enough and continent to hide the slain? Oh, from this time forth, my thoughts be bloody or be nothing what. A reading from Plato's The Republic. And for this reason, I said, money and honor have no attraction for them. Good men do not wish to be openly demanding payment for government, and so to get the name of hirelings, nor by secretly helping themselves out of the public revenues to get the name of thieves. And not being ambitious, they do not care about honor. Wherefore necessity must be laid upon them, and they must be induced to serve from the fear of punishment. And this, as I imagine, is the reason why the forwardness to take office, instead of waiting to be compelled, has been deemed dishonourable. Now the worst part of the punishment is that he who refuses to rule is liable to be ruled by one who is worse than himself. And the fear of this, as I conceive, induces the good to take office, not because they would, but because they cannot help. Not under the idea that they are going to have any benefit or enjoyment to themselves, but as a necessity, and because they are not able to commit the task of ruling to anyone who is better than themselves, or indeed as good. For there is reason to think that if a city were composed entirely of good men, then to avoid office would be as much an object of contention as to obtain office is at present. Then we should have plain proof that the ruler under ruler is not meant by nature to regard his own interest, but that of his subjects, and every one who knew this would choose rather to receive a benefit from another than to have the trouble of conferring one. So far am I from agreeing with Trasimachus that justice is the interest of the stronger. This latter question need not be further discussed at present, but when Trasimachus says that the life of the unjust is more advantageous than that of the just, his new statement appears to me to be a far more serious character. Which of us has spoken truly? And which sort of life, Glaucon, do you prefer? I, for my part, deem the life of the just to be more advantageous, he answered. This is an interpretation, after my own fashioning, of some lines from the true classic of Southern Taoist fragrance. Nortri Star visitor spoke to me, saying, Humaculate of Era, what stories, what anecdotes, what insights do you bring to this new dawn? There was an ancient of old, here on the island I have heard told, a recluse that was so outlandish in his speculations that to all and sundry he was not of the ordinary everyday real world at all. To many he was simply a very nice madman, harmless as they come, who love to be talking to visions in the winds and visages in the rains. Yet for the handful who knew how to listen to and look beyond the first impressions of what he said, the first layers of meanings that he set forth. There was much there to be found that was way ahead of its time, or if you like, way behind of its time, or even way outside of time altogether. Here are some of the claims he made. For instance, he claimed that if you waded way out into the Western Sea, you would reach the other side of the moon. He claimed that if, with locating the exact center of the island, you were there to dig a hole way deep into the ground, you would be able to see the stars all year round. He claimed that a bumblebee would have no problem carrying the highest mountain in the land in between its legs, and with it buzzing about here and there, it could deposit it in any other part of the island according to its inclination. He claimed that if you could fly through a low in the horizon cloud at sunrise, you would within a very short time find sunset to be waiting for you on the other side of it. He claimed there are life forms that can neither be seen in the broad daylight or in a full moonlit of night, though you had 1,000 flaming torches at your disposal. And he said these life forms were taller in height than the tallest tree and smaller in width than the tiniest speck of dust. And besides these, there were many more claims he made that if they were to be told, an entire spring or summer season would go by. In a dawn reverie of this new day, meditated I on what an immortal self of mine did say, did lovingly relay, way back in days of long, long, long gone by. O mortal self of mine, when with living in your own realm and time, your thoughts will go forth about the planet, go forth to the beyond of the furthest most visible of the starry heavens. From no place will their passage, their traversing, be hidden. Remember whenever and wherever to bravely speak out on issues when you know quite well you ought to. Refuse to let yourself silence you. The upcoming repeal here on the island of Ireland of the 8th Amendment of the Constitution Act of 1983, which acknowledges the right to life of the unborn with due regard to the equal right to life of the mother, is such an issue in need of your courageous response. Say no on Referendum Day, Friday 25th of May, to the making of a law that would fast-track us as individuals and as a people to inhumanity. The beloved lives in the wombs of tomorrows will to us in their own way be eternally grateful and ever so proud of us. All right, I will leave it at that for today. Enjoy taking very good care of yourself and those around you. Be ever so grateful for your many blessings. You have been listening to an Irish philosopher of the natural kind bringing radio to the internet via Radio Richard Ireland. On the air globally for about 15 minutes, Monday to Friday, and occasionally on the weekends. The script format of today's broadcast will be available at a future date on AuthenticCloseterAmbiscripts.com. It is truly an honor to have you listening. May you be a blessing unto yourself by way of your past, by way of your present, and by way of your future. Slán agus beannacht leat.